It's The Record from KUOW with David Hyde. I'm Marcy Silman. You have prepped for your holiday dinner, perhaps, and you've planned hors d'oeuvres for those holiday parties. But if you're like me, you haven't yet done that. It's on the list. Maybe you have family or friends coming for overnight visits. And the real question is, what do you feed them in the morning before you collapse in exhaustion and despair and pull out a box of cereal and some iffy milk? Take note, Sarah Dickerman, food writer and critic, is here with some simple ways to wow your guest. Simple is in the eye of the beholder, Sarah.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally fine to have a nice cereal bar for your guests if that's all you want to deal with. But I was trying to think of a way to be festive and serve a nice warm breakfast and still not be doing everything at the last minute.
So let's start with something that my husband whispers to me at least once a week. Waffles. Now, these, I think, are maybe a fancier kind of waffle. Yes.
There's two sort of different branches in the waffle family. One is sort of more of a quick bread, and one is this yeast raised waffle. I love it. Some people love the other kind more, but I love it because it's really crisp and really malty. And the other neat thing is that you make the batter the night before. You let it sit on your counter. It gets wildly bubbly. And in the morning, you stir in a couple of eggs and a bit of baking soda. Huh. And then that batter will keep for a really long time, like even another day if you wanted to.
Does that counter sitting make it a sourdough thing?
It's got a little sourness to it. It is not a very sweet waffle. And the waffle I'm referring to, the sort of archetypical raised waffle, is Marion Cunningham's recipe for yeast-raised waffles, which are all over the web, but we can provide a link too.
Now, Sarah, one thing that I've been reading about is sort of the savory end of these sorts of things, waffles and pancakes. So if I wanted to, I could make this batter and make it maybe not a sweet waffle?
Yeah, there's not a lot of sugar in this particular one anyway. You could probably trim it, but you know, you want a little sugar to brown and make it lovely and crisp and brown. But you could, I mean, I couldn't stop you from putting chopped up bacon in the waffle or something like that,
gee,
and seeing how that goes. Or you could serve a fried egg on top of it if you wanted to do something fun like that. Waffles go, this one is really nice because it could take something sweet like a nice dried fruit compote, maybe another easy thing to make that's so delicious in the winter. Where you just rehydrate dried fruits like prunes or dried cherries or dried figs, a little bit of water and some orange zest, and then sort of let it all mellow together. So yummy, and that would also be delicious on this kind of waffle.
Or you could just go with the old tried and true maple syrup.
Nothing wrong with that.
You suggest that you could, even if you were incredibly lay abed, set up the waffle iron, give them instructions and have them serve themselves in the morning.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's one way. My personal favorite is oatmeal, but not big oatmeal. It's Scottish oats. Is that the right word? And maybe you want to describe how these are different from rolled oats.
Yeah, they're cut on steel cut oats, and they're They end up sort of pebbly, little pebbly chunks. So basically, instead of flattening the berries as rolled oats would be, they're more just little small chunks of it. And what it does is it sort of retains a nuttiness when it's cooked. It doesn't go to that far end of mushiness that rolled oats can go
to. Yeah, it's not pasty.
Yeah. It's really good. And it tends to, it takes longer to cook because it's not as heavily processed. And so you just need a little time to do it. But the neat thing is you can do it ahead of time.
Now, I have read but have not yet tried people who cook this overnight and then they do something to it in the morning. Have you ever tried cooking it overnight?
I've soaked it overnight in hot water and then cook it up in the morning, which cuts 5-10 minutes from the cooking time. You put hot water on it and leave it soak overnight. The thing I'd recommend, though, is just cooking up the batch at some point when you have a spare moment. So you can really keep an eye on it, stir it up, and put it in the fridge. And then when you reheat it, you could do it in small batches or in giant batches and just put a little liquid in as you reheat it to make sure it doesn't stick.
Now, I love oatmeal, but I don't think of it as a festive breakfast for guests. So what makes this oatmeal unlike the kind that comes in the package? In other words, how do I make it feel like it's a party?
Sell it. We got to sell it, right?
We're having oatmeal.
So I think the fun thing would be to just have it like the most fantastic toppings bar for your oatmeal, where you have, of course, you'd have brown sugar and maybe some dried cranberries or dried raisins, but then maybe you have this fruit compote, a little bit of heavy cream. You can top this with something savory like an egg or bacon as well. Nuts, beautiful toasted nuts. And it's just kind of fun. Everyone loves a sundae bar, so this is a slightly healthier version of that.
I'm talking with food writer Sarah Dickerman about how to have those overnight guests feel very festive in the morning. You have a granola recipe that we're going to be posting on our website, kuow.org. I make my own granola. What's in your granola that makes it special?
Well, this granola, I love to experiment with granola, but this particular one has tahini and sesame in it. So it's got two layers of sort of sesame flavor. It's very nutty. This one's not too sweet. It's sort of on the again, a little bit on the savory end of things, but it's got the sweetness it needs to brown and taste yummy. And then, of course, if you just have a big jar of granola, that's really so low pressure. You can make it a week in advance. Your friends come. You've got a big jar. They can help themselves. You have some yogurt in the fridge, and it's ready to go.
And you leave them a note and say, wake me up in a couple of hours. We mentioned waffles. Pancakes, also a hit, and actually a little bit easier than waffles, unless you want to experiment. I had tried a ricotta pancake recipe that failed miserably. Right. Maybe I'll be brave and try it again. But what do you suggest if pancake is the watchword?
Well, I had two quick suggestions. One is last year, at this time of year, I made some gingerbread pancakes where it was just a basic basic pancake dough with gingerbread spices mixed in, you know, ginger, clove, cinnamon, I think a little bit of nutmeg. It's so yummy and it's fun and it's a little bit winter spicy.
You didn't use little molds to make them into gingerbread people.
I'm not that good.
I think you probably are. I've been to your kitchen. So you also talk about a Dutch baby pancake, which is not exactly the kind of pancake that you think of when you think of a stack.
Yeah. It's not a flapjack. It's a baked pancake, and you take this like intensely hot oven, and you put either your 9x13 pan or your cast iron skillet in there, heat it up quite a bit, and then it's an eggy sort of popover like dough, and you pull it out. Sizzle a little grease in it, and then put the batter in there, and it puffs up wild.
Wow, cool.
And it's fun. And you can kind of serve four people at once with one of those, I'd say, around that, so that you don't have to be making flapjack after flapjack after flapjack, which can be fun, but can also be distracting.
Okay, so these are all, if you're like me, the sweet tooth has kind of gone off and you're in a little vibration mode. What about that old tried and true, the little ovoid egg?
Yeah, well, the egg is always, I mean, I'm a huge egg fan, eggs for dinner, eggs for lunch. I love them. I think, again, thinking about what works well at room temperature, a frittata is always really nice. And you can use your leftover vegetables. Maybe you had a roast the night before and you had some roasted vegetables. Just chop them up, put a little Parmesan cheese and a little delicious whatever other cheese ends you have in there. It's such a forgiving medium. Or you could go another way and sort of saute them up with onion and then do poached eggs on top and have a vegetable hash.
That sounds good. Where would you send our listeners if they want to sort of peruse brunch breakfast ideas?
Oh, well, I'm going to send them to a good old-fashioned book.
That's always fun. A book.
I know. It's really old technology. But Marion Cunningham's book, The Breakfast Book, is full of every kind of recipe. It's from the late 80s. It's a classic. It's really good to get you jump started.
1980s, not 1880s. Let's just be clear here. We're not talking about going back in annals of time. How many people are you going to be serving Christmas morning?
Well, I'm going to be at my... At Christmas morning, I won't be there. Next day, I'm going to Baltimore. I'll be with 13 people in the house. So we'll have to make a lot of granola.
You can find out suggestions at our website, kuow.org, or you can follow Sarah Dickerman on Twitter, at Sarah Dickerman, hashtag Sarah Dickerman, or her website, sarahdickerman.com. And then starting in January, Bon Appetit, you will find the Food Lover's Cleanse. I think this is the third or fourth iteration of it. And so you can get healthy after you eat all this stuff that we just talked about. Sarah Dickerman, always great to see you. Happy holidays.
Thanks so much for having me, Marcy.
It's The Record from KUOW.